when you came in, I don't know if anyone noticed this. What's on the table? I think all of us, it doesn't matter. Like when you're a kid, if I say to my kids, I've got a secret for you, they instantly kind of like lean in. Like they want to know. Everyone's curious. The moment someone says they've got a secret, right? Everyone wants to know, like, well, what is it? Like, I want to know too. What if I told you that what I have under this box is a box? And I've had Tyler for the past 6 months just writing down some of your secrets, some of the worst things that you've told him about yourself. And today what I'm going to do is I'm going to share some of those with everyone else. Now how do you feel about secrets? Who wants to go first? I'm not going to do that. And to my knowledge, Tyler hasn't been recording your secrets. But I want to talk about kind of what's hidden and what's unveiled and what's concealed. And I want to talk, Tyler has been doing a series called Invest, and he's been talking about the practices and the habits that we can do that help us become more like Jesus, that help change us and grow us. And the one I want to talk about today is confess. Now, I'm not going to be twisting any of your arms to stand up and confess to your deepest, darkest secrets here this morning. And that's not what I'm going to ask you to do. But I want us to consider what this discipline, this habit of confession, could mean for us in our lives. You know, the moment I say it, you probably instantly have some kind of anxiety. The thought about, for some of you, that you think about maybe as a child or as a teenager going into a confession booth at another church, and you had to say things, and it was maybe that was not a good experience. For some of you, maybe it was a positive one. But if I said to you, it's time to confess, you're probably thinking of something bad, right? There's probably something in you that says, ooh, I got some doozies, but I don't think I want to admit to them. Certainly not in front of you. Because the moment that I say what's really going on inside of me, the moment I tell you my true behavior or what I did in the shadows or what no one else knows, chances are I'm going to be rejected. Or you're going to think less of me. Or it's going to create a problem in our relationship, maybe put a wall between us. And yet, confession actually is something that can be for freedom and for life. So I want to talk about today. I want to say, like, I, for my life as a pastor, just as a follower of Jesus, like, I have tried to live, you know, with very few things in the shadows. I try to live my life in a way that I wouldn't be ashamed to let people know what's going on in my life. But I'm not perfect, and I've always, especially in more recent years, I've always tried to keep people close to me that I can confess things to, that I can say, I'm struggling with this today. Or this has been an issue for me, or I'm angry about this, and I need to let somebody know, because if I just keep it inside of me, it's going to continue to be a problem. And so, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I've got it all sorted out either, but I try to live in a way that has a level of integrity like that. And I've found that when I have gone to friends or other godly people and I've said, here's what's going on inside of me, here's the stuff that's hidden that no one else can see, you know, it's a release, and it's a freedom, and it's a way in which Christ makes me more like himself. When I'm no longer burdened by that sin or that shame or whatever it is, sometimes it's even just a sorrow that's on our mind. We don't want to admit that there's something that we're sad about. But confession is a way to bring healing to all of that. So let's begin here. What I want to begin with is just this verse that Jesus said, and this is kind of an interesting one. Oh, before I do that, I should sort of define what confession is. Here's just a really simple definition. To confess is to make known. So to confess is to take whatever is hidden and unveil it. Whatever's concealed and take the cover off. So this can be positive, it can be negative. Usually we say, you know, a confession of guilt, but that kind of implies that there's other confessions as well, doesn't it? We're most used to hearing confessions of guilt, but there are confessions of faith as well. So a confession can be a positive, or it can be sometimes a negative thing that we're talking about. And we're actually going to talk about both of those as a discipline, as a habit that we can develop as a follower of Jesus. Okay, so to confess is to make known. Now here's what Jesus said, and it's a good reminder for us. He said this in Luke chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. The time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. Whatever you've said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetops for all to hear. Now, as you hear that, you might have the reaction like, oh my goodness, what is that day coming? Because I'm going to be hiding out in my house. I don't want anybody to know what I've hidden in the dark. But what Jesus is saying here is not necessarily positive or negative. He's just saying, remember, there's coming a day where it's not going to be hidden anymore. And so if you've done good things that nobody else knows about, if you've hidden away your secret service and your acts of kindness for other people and you haven't told anyone about it, someday that's going to be brought to light. And it's going to be celebrated by God. But it also is a reminder for us, if we've got sort of sin or things we've been doing that we shouldn't be doing, that we've been hiding away under the cover of darkness, well, there's going to come a day where it's made known. And certainly in our culture today, we've been seeing more and more things in the news about things that were done in darkness and now are being revealed. And people are being caught for things and people are being accused of things. And it's a reminder that whatever you think you can cover up, there's going to come a day, whether it's in your life or not, where it comes to light and it comes to bear. There's another reminder. This is the Lord speaking in Jeremiah. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth, says the Lord? And so however smart we think we might be, that we can cover something up and no one else knows about it, or you know, whatever we think, how good we are, that we've managed to get away with something, well, God saw it. And you can pretend that he didn't, but he was there. He knows. So you might have fooled, you know, you might have fooled Scott. You might have fooled me. You might have fooled, you know, you might have fooled somebody else, but God saw it all. I don't know why I said your name, Scott. Sorry to embarrass you. So let's go on here. And I want to look at some of the, this is sort of a double-edged thing. This is, we're going to look at a few verses that talk about sort of the danger or a warning about trying to keep things concealed. And then also about the blessing that comes when we confess. So Proverbs 28:13 says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. So you see, when it says, when we do something wrong and we know it's wrong and we try to cover it up, we try to hide it away from God, even though he saw it, well, we're going to be suffering. We're going to struggle because there's something broken there in our relationship with God. There's something broken in the way that things are operating in our hearts. And that's going to be a problem. We might still make money. We might have sort of robbed somebody, and our bank account might look fat and healthy. But there are going to be places in our life as time goes on that it will begin to rot us out from the inside. But the promise, it says, is if they confess and turn from these sins, they'll receive mercy. Now, the same thing is kind of said in two different verses. We'll go on to the next slide. In Psalm 66, it talks really about the negative. It says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And so when there's things in our hearts, in our lives, that we try to hide from God, well, it's almost like God kind of hides his ears from us. It becomes a block between us in our relationship with God. So if we want to continue to grow in our relationship with God, we've got to realize we can't hold anything back. He was there. He saw it all anyway. So we've got to recognize that if we don't confess, then God's not going to listen. That's kind of scary to think about. But quickly, I want to take you to the next verse, which is 1 John 1:9. It says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Now, that's a great promise. What God is telling us there in his word is that, you know, if we don't confess, we're going to suffer and we're going to struggle. We're not going to prosper. But The moment we turn to him, the moment we unveil that and reveal that to him, we speak it to him, we make known what the contents of our heart to God are, right away he says, yeah, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to do a work that changes your insides and makes you whole again. That's a wonderful, wonderful promise for us. And I want us to keep that in mind as we think maybe there's something in your mind right now that you're already kind of like, oh man, I hope that Gordon's not going to like do one of those things where he calls out sins and he says, is there somebody here who, and is he going to, I'm not going to do that. But maybe there's something in your mind that you're saying, yeah, nobody knows this. I haven't trusted this to anyone. And so today, I want you to begin to think about what would it mean if you could trust that to God. And it would mean that you have a chance to prosper. It would mean that you would have a chance to be free of that, to be cleansed from that, to have that burden removed. Well, so let's get into it now. I want to take some time looking at Psalm 32. This is a great psalm. It was written by King David. And in it, he's really just reflecting on and thinking about the power of confession and the joy that comes with being forgiven by God. This is a wonderful thing, and he's looking at this, and he's saying, what a wonderful thing it is that God forgives, that when I speak and make known the contents of my heart to God, that he brings healing and wholeness. And he says this, and he's speaking about the negative here. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. And this is kind of like what we were hearing before, that we won't prosper if we don't confess. But this is something that happens inside of us. Our bodies can actually begin to feel pain because of sin held inside of us. Now you might say, well, how is that possible? That's just like some mumbo-jumbo hocus-pocus. Like, that's going a little too far, but I tell you, it's not. How many of you have ever had one of those experiences where maybe after a good cry or you finally tell somebody something that's going on inside of you, and all of a sudden you feel physically better? Why wouldn't it be true that the same happens in reverse? That when we're holding something in and we're afraid to tell anybody and there's something bad or something we're struggling with or something that's bothering us, why wouldn't that turn to some kind of physical pain and struggle that we would waste away? And David acknowledges that here, and he says, when I refused to confess, when I held it in and I concealed it, my body wasted away and I was in pain and I groaned all day long. You know, there have been times in my life where I've had a lot of stress and my stomach would just be in knots. I'd have this churning feeling. And you know, it would be hard to sleep at night, or it would be hard to get up in the morning, and you'd be in pain. I'd be in pain. Maybe you've had that kind of experience with stress. Well, the same thing happens with sin. And it can be a lot worse because sometimes we'll let it go a lot longer. Sometimes it's a lot harder to talk about with a friend or a loved one. So here David is acknowledging that when we hold on to sin, it causes all kinds of problems for us. We're trying to protect ourselves by not exposing our vulnerability, not exposing our weaknesses. But it's actually hurting us. And so David says, this causes pain and problems. It doesn't help. So it's a foolish thing to do. Then he goes on, and I think this is now Psalm 32:5. He says, finally, I confessed all my sins to you, and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And then he says, and you forgave. You forgave me. All my guilt is gone. You see, he's got these exclamation marks. He's joyful. He's excited. And that moment where he finally decided to let it go, he became free. Now there was no longer this barrier between him and the Lord. Now there was no longer this pain that he was holding inside of him that was rotting him out from the inside. And he was able to find a new way forward, a new life. I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. And so this is what it means to confess. It means to make something known. It means to stop trying to hide something.
And when we confess, when we bring it to the Lord, when we bring it to another person, there's this moment where we just say, okay, enough is enough. I'm not going to try and hide this anymore. I can't. It's too hard to lie. It's too hard to tell a different story. It's too hard to not bring this to Him. And when we finally come to that place, it can be a moment of freedom, a moment of healing. And then he says this, Psalm 32:7. And here's the thing. I want you to pay attention to what happens here. It goes from a moment where we're hiding our sin to God hiding it. Listen to this. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. So what confession does is instead of us trying to hide something and cover it over, we open it up and make it known to God, and He takes it. And instead of hurting us, and when we're in that vulnerable space, instead of making that a place of pain for us, because now we're known and we're worried that God's going to reject us, instead, He takes it away and He hides it. Whoa. So what's the difference there? Why can't we just leave it inside and we'll hide it and it's covered away? No. We're not capable of dealing with it properly. But when He takes our sin and He hides it over, it's forgotten, it's gone, and He's able to destroy its power. But when it's inside of us, sin grows in the dark. Pain grows in the dark. Suffering grows in the dark. But when it's given to God and it's brought into His light, the power diminishes. And so there's this promise here in Psalm 32 that when we confess, we don't have to deal with it anymore. We also don't have to worry about being exposed and being vulnerable because He takes it away. He protects us from trouble. He hides our sin. And He surrounds us with songs of victory. So confession is freeing. Confession is something that makes it possible for us to flourish and to have life. It's the opposite of how we might feel in that moment because it's humbling to come with a confession. But here God is reminding us through King David that He is a safe hiding place. He's a safe place to take our darkest secrets. He's a safe person that we can give them all to. So this is a wonderful promise for us. We'll look at this next one, and I want to see what Psalm 32:1. This is how it actually started the psalm. If we can go there now, Debbie. He says, Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. And so we try to conceal it, but we can't do it. It causes us pain and suffering. But when we give our sin and our confession to God, He puts it out of sight. And He covers it over, and it's hidden away. But now it's not something we have to carry anymore. It says there's joy waiting for us when we confess. All right, so let's look at the next verse. And this is, we went backwards there. So James 5, and we've been talking about confessing to God, which is a valuable thing and a good thing. But what the Bible actually commands us to do is to confess to each other. And you're like saying, oh, I was with you up until you said, I have to tell somebody else. I'm willing to tell God because that's easier. But telling somebody else my dark secrets, that's not so great. But I'll tell you, there's something that happens here when we confess to another person. And it's a really powerful thing. Because a lot of times when we've got a dark secret, it just kind of weighs us down and we don't feel like we have strength over it. And it can feel really, again, vulnerable and painful, an idea to take it to somebody else. But I tell you, once you've done that, if it's a godly person, someone you can trust, there's something there that's powerful. What is it that we do? It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has a great power and produces wonderful results. So when we go to another person, a person that's godly, someone else that's seeking God for us, it's like we get to we get to experience their strength in helping us take it to the Lord. So if I go to a friend of mine and I say, you know what, I'm really struggling with this. This has been a real problem for me, and I need to talk about it. I need to get it out there. I need to make it known. What happens in that moment is that person, they come and they help bring the grace of Christ to me. They help give me strength to deal with that, the strength that I don't have. And God gives me strength through them. And so in this moment when we come, I can come to them and they can pray for me. Even if I don't have the words to say, I don't know what to do with it. I don't even know where to go with it other than I've got to bring this confession. And we feel vulnerable, but when we do, if it's someone that's trustworthy, then they give us strength and they help us to feel God's grace. And they'll pray for us so that we can be healed. So I want to encourage you, you know, if you've got friends around you that you trust, but there's something you've been holding back, have the conversation. Say the things that haven't been said. You're not going to have to do that here this morning. I'm not going to make you stay after the service and do that publicly. But I want you to think this week, what would it be like if you had a phone call with somebody that you trust? What would it be like if you invited them over for coffee or tea? What would it be like if you said, you know what, in all the years we've known each other, I've never told you. And you know what? I think that if you do that, you're going to find a kind of grace that you've never found. You're going to find a kind of healing that you've never found before. It's something that I've experienced. There's things, there's secrets I've had, there's stories that I've lived that no one else ever knew. But the moment that I began to make them known, they stopped having power over me in the same way. And so I want to encourage you, make those dark places known. Bring them into the light, because sin dies in the light. Pain dies in the light. So confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, here's what I want to say. You've been wondering what's under here. There is nothing amazing. It's just... Oh, well, it's gone. Where is it? It's stuck here. Here it is. It's just a sponge. But the reason I brought a sponge is because I want to show you this just as an example of what happens when we are holding on to something. It's kind of inside of us, and it's like all squished up like this, right? And it's creating this pressure because it wants to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know what? When we're holding on to something dark and a secret that's a painful problem in our lives, it's creating a pressure inside of us. And it is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It snowballs. And it expands and it grows. Sin grows in the dark. And when we kind of take that out of, and we finally give it to somebody, and we just kind of bring it out to the light, there's two things that we are tempted to do and that they can be tempted to do. The first thing that we might be tempted to do, we might be tempted to keep it small. And try and say, it's not that big a deal. It only happens sometimes. Or, you know, whatever we might say. But we try to keep it small. But that's dishonest. And that pressure is still there. And if we try to minimize it, we're actually not going to be totally healed from it. So a real confession means that we say it for what it is. We make it known. We don't hold back. We say it specifically. We name it completely, and we allow it to be fully what it is. Because if you kind of wiggle around it, then you're not really saying what it is, and you're not really getting it out. But you got to say, here's what's really going on, and you got to really make it known. Now, on the other side, when you hear your friend say something, and they put that on the table, your temptation, because of your own awkwardness, your own sense of vulnerability in that moment, is your temptation might be to try and make it small again. Oh, it's not that big a deal. We all do it. Everybody has problems. But so here what I want to counsel you to do is, when somebody entrusts you with this thing, this lump, this block, is don't minimize it. They've entrusted you. If they've given you the full meal deal, this whole ugly green thing that was lumped in their chest, don't shrink it back down because you're minimizing it. You're making it less than it really is. They've entrusted this to you. So look at it for what it is. Acknowledge it. But don't make them think it's bigger than it is either. Don't say, well, you are the worst person I've ever met. I don't know anyone else who would do something that disgusting, that shameful. How could you even think that? You're a horrible person. And I introduced you to my children. You know? No, that's how would you feel if somebody said that to you? When we hear a confession, when somebody gives us something like this, this is a sacred thing. It's a sacred responsibility to hear it, to acknowledge it for what it is, but then to do something with it that they're having a hard time doing. Because here's what happens in a confession, a godly confession. A godly confession says, we are going to take this to God. Because it's too big for you and it's too big for me. But it's not too big for him. So a godly confession says, we're now going to take this to God and he is going to hide it away. He is going to remove it and he's going to conceal it. We don't have to let other people know. We don't have to make this a bigger deal than it is, but we're going to take what it is and give it to God. And that's what a godly confession does. So on the one side, I want to encourage you that when you're making a confession, say it what it is. Name it completely. Don't try to minimize it. And when you hear a friend finally come to you and admit what's been in their heart, don't minimize it again. Take it with them in prayer to God. That's what the verse tells us to do. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So that's kind of the engine works of how this thing goes. Taking our burdens, our sins, our pain to God and allowing him to conceal it and to cover it over so that we can find life and healing. Now, I want to just show you one more verse that kind of gives us some counsel on how to deal with this. So if you're on, well, I guess if you're on this side of things and you're hearing somebody confess, here's a little bit of counsel from Galatians 6, 1 and 2. It says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. So now that gentleness and that humbleness, that's what I was trying to describe there. You don't say, well, you're a horrible person. I'm better than you. I'd never do that. Absolute wrong thing to say. When somebody comes with a confession, you say, wow, thank you for sharing that with me. That must have been really hard for you to do. That must have taken a lot of courage. You've held this in for such a long time. This kind of gentleness that you approach. And then approaching it with humility is to say, you know what? The reality is, I might not have done that, but I've done a lot of other things. And I could just as easily one day have done what you did as well, or had those same feelings or that same pain. And so coming with gentleness and humility says, I'm no better than you. And you know what? I'm not capable of dealing with this in my strength either. Just talking about it isn't enough. And then it says, should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Now, when it says share each other's burdens, that's going to mean that you might be saying, well, listen, what you seem to have this problem every time you're in this place, or around this person, or when this happens. So let me call you, or you call me, or let's have some accountability. Let's make a plan to follow the right path. Let's make a plan to walk through this together. And sharing each other's burdens might also be simply, as I described, we're going to take this together now, and I'm going to help you. We're going to pray. I'm going to take this to the Lord together. And we're going to take this before him, and we're going to allow God to hide it now. And now what I want you to see here is, if this table is representing you, you're now free. You don't have that burden weighing you down. You're able to receive good things. You know, this table before was covered with a cloth and it had a dumb green sponge on it. Who wants a sponge in their life? But now this table, it could be set with food. It could be set with fellowship. There's nothing to hide. There's a freedom, and there's the possibility of joy and life together around a table. So confession is a discipline, a habit for us, by which we can be free of the things that are weighing us down, that are hidden inside, that are slowing us down, causing problems. Confession is a way that we can find that freedom in Christ by taking those things to the Lord. And I want to just quickly now, at the very end, talk about another kind of confession. Because we've been talking about sin and pain and problems, but Jesus talks about what happens when something is... something good happens. He says, no one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. So he's saying, when there's something good in your life, when there's a light, when there's something beautiful inside of you, it would be a shame for you to cover it. And so the job of someone who's experienced the beauty and the life of Christ, the healing and freedom of Christ, is to make it known or to confess that. And this is the more positive side of confession. And so here's a verse for us on the next slide. And this is where we'll end. 1 John 4:15 says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, well, God abides in him, or God lives in him, and he in God. So the other type of confession is that whenever we make it known that Jesus is the Son of God, when we declare that to our friends or neighbors, when we see a person who's struggling and we say, you know what, I know a way that you can be free of that. Let's take that to God together because Jesus makes it possible for you to be free. When we do that, when we confess in that way, God is honored and God lives in us and we live in God. That's a wonderful thing. And when we practice the discipline, the two types of confession, first taking our sin to God or maybe with the help of others, or when we practice the discipline of confession where we make it known that Jesus is the Son of God and that he has power to save, when we do those things, he transforms us. He makes us whole. And he does wonderful things in us and through us. So I want to encourage you this week to confess. To confess the things that are wrong in your life, but also to confess the goodness of Christ and how he has met you in it. What a wonderful opportunity we have to use this as a way to make ourselves whole, to find healing in Christ, and to become like him. Let's pray, and then we're going to close with a song. Jesus, thank you that you love us enough to not only know our sin, but to come and die so that it could be removed from us and we could be free of it. Help us not to hold back from you. You already know it. You already have seen whatever is hiding within us. So now, by your Spirit's power, help us to make it known to you, to a friend. Help us to be free of the burden, but also to share the joy of the good news that we've found in you. And may we practice this habit of confession on a regular basis so that our life is rooted deeply in you alone. Thank you for the freedom and forgiveness, the wholeness that comes when we trust in you and when we give everything over